This episode of the Star Wars Report is brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. For an amazing selection of Star Wars action figures, collectibles, and so much more, head over to starwarsreport.com/toys. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Come in, come one, come all. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast, episode 133. I'm so glad to welcome you to the program. Hey, I'm Riley Blanton, here the executive editor and founder of these here, StarWarsReports.com. So glad that you've decided to join us. Good morning!
Good morning! Good morning. Nice of you guys to drop by!
It does not look like morning outside.
No. In fact, actually, as we record this, Saturday evening, the 14th of June. It's the summer of Star Wars, folks. So glad you've joined us. If you like Star Wars, if you like that galaxy far, far away, you've come to the right place. We are here to talk all about the latest news and rumors from Star Wars Episode 7, our latest convention experiences, and just have a good time as Star Wars fans. I want to bring into the program my good friend and fellow Star Wars fan and sister. So, you have a sister. It's Bethany Blanton. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for welcoming me. I am so glad to be back in the chair, back in the recording studio.
Back in the proverbial podcasting saddle.
Yes.
Last week we kind of took off. I actually had a little bit of an interview. If you guys are listening to this podcast, check out last week's episode. I had an interview with Brian Muir, who was a sculptor on the original Star Wars Episode 4 set. And he had a couple pretty interesting stories. So we kind of had a mini-sode, a Star Wars Report data burst, if you will, last week, kind of in the interim, because I was busy that weekend, busy over at Star Wars Weekend. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. But before we get into all of that, I want to bring in a fantastic friend of mine and friend of the show here. He's the co-host of the Wampa's Lair podcast here on the Star Wars Report Network and an all-around cool guy. It's Jason Hunt.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Glad to be back on the Star Wars Report.
So
it's
glad
been too
to
long.
Have you. No, I'll tell you what. It's been too long. I'm trying to remember when we had you on the program. I know it's been at least a few months, which is too long in my books.
It's been a while. I'm trying to remember, too. I'm trying to remember what we talked about last time.
It was before like episode 100, I believe. So it would have been last year sometime. But I'll tell you what. Mark is not with us. His son actually is doing a Boy Scouts event. It's evidently fairly significant. So we wish Mark and his family all the best as they do their festivities this weekend. So unfortunately, he's not able to make it. But Jason, I trust you to be in the handy co-host saddle for the episode.
All right.
In Mark's place, you do need to, if Expanded Universe comes up, you really do need to represent. I need you to really represent the legend side of things and the greater universe of Star Wars.
All right. I will try to make Mark proud.
All right. make sense. All right. Well, for the first kind of segment of the show, we've missed the last couple weeks here on the Star Wars Report as far as news goes, because like even two episodes ago, we recapped our first weekend at Star Wars Weekends, and that was episode 131. We had Trisha Barr, Teresa Delgado, Aaron Goins on, and we kind of recapped our amazing Memorial Day weekend in Orlando at mine and Bethany's first Disney experience. And that was a blast. And like, little did I know.
That was fun.
Man, like, the gathering was a lot more intimate than something like a Star Wars Celebration or even a Dragon Con, because there were so many bloggers and podcasters who knew each other. So it's like when they're like at the Rebel Force Radio.
It was like a party at a convention.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes. In fact, in a way that I don't think will happen again, or maybe if it does, it would probably have to be a Star Wars Weekends, because
I was going to say, I want it to happen again.
Well, I mean, but that's the problem, is that like when we land at Celebration, everyone kind of has that responsibility to, not responsibility, but like when you land, it's like, Jason, when we all head out to Celebration Anaheim, like you and I, it's not like we'll have the chance to hang out for a whole day there, because we'll all be going to different panels and different events and stuff. And
so, well, I mean, we'll hang out at night and we'll meet up
at
different panels.
There'll be some overlap, but not to the same degree. But like, we had such a great time that I want to say it was about a week later. I was seeing pictures come in from the subsequent weekend, and I was really, really wishing I could go. And then I heard our good buddy Aaron, who I saw him on Twitter. He's like, "All right, guys, I'm taking the plunge. I'm buying the plane ticket and flying out for Saturday to see Mark Hamill at the weekend of June 7th, last weekend as we record this. I'm going to go see Mark Hamill." And there was that moment of intense, jealousy? Is that the word?
And
where I was
longing.
Like, come on, man. And that kind of post-Disney blues coming off such an amazing experience. And see, and here's the problem, is that weekend, the subsequent weekend, I want to say, yeah, so it was the 31st, after the weekend after Memorial Day, and I was kind of sitting at home by myself and hearing that the following weekend, it was like the two weekends in between, that Aaron was going to be going out. And you had traveled out of state, Bethany, all the way up to Tennessee.
Yeah.
And so I was just sitting in the house by myself, watching the Instagram feed of pictures from Star Wars weekends.
One day, exactly. You go running off to Florida.
So I did it. So Teresa Delgado, co-host of Star Wars Bookworms and co-host of Fangirls Going Rogue and all around like Star Wars internet fangirl celebrity.
She really is at this point, isn't she?
She is like that. I like rolling the what's the word? Rolling the high dice. I can't make a
high roller.
Something like that. I don't know my references. No, like she's amazing. And not only that, but she's also an absolutely delightful, incredible person. She and her husband Greg, and they were kind enough to kind of host me and Aaron on our kind of little guys trip out, because Aaron brought his wife the first weekend when we all went. And of course I brought you, and actually our mom was in Florida. She didn't go to Disney, but we did kind of make a kind of family trip out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like the two weekends later, it was just Aaron and myself. Teresa helped put us up, and I was like, I'm a poor college student. So I was like crunching the numbers on the gas money and the ticket prices, on it. And I ended up getting like a multi-day non-expiring pass, because I just figured I like Disney so much. I know I'm probably going to go back sometime this year at least. And I'm certainly going back next Star Wars weekend. So I actually went ahead and bought a bunch of tickets together, to save money in the long run. So. But man,
nice.
So yeah, there I was sitting there that weekend, just really wishing to go. And then I was like, all right, YOLO, as they say. That's what the kids are saying, right? Like, yo, we only. So there you go. Off I went to Florida the weekend of Saturday, June 7th. And it was Mark Hamill, and it was awesome. So I wanted to kind of share a few things. I didn't want to hazard the risk of accidentally making it all about like another huge recap of everything we did, but I did want to share a few things with you guys. I gotta grab a
by all means.
I got a sip of water here.
Yes, I'm really curious to see like what Mark Hamill had to talk about, because they're filming right now, and he's taking the weekend off to come to Disney. So I'm really curious to see if he had anything interesting to say.
It's not been said concrete. I think it was still before him shooting his scenes. I think from things I've heard, I think he was like flying out from Orlando and then going to go join the shooting.
Ah.
It was in progress. Although they're being very secretive. It's really hard to say for sure, one way or the other.
Yeah, but that's something I'm definitely interested in.
Tell
us a bit about Mark Hamill and what he looked like.
Like this was the first. This was like a giant. What was the old movie? Garden State. I think that's Natalie Portman. Like a personal dream of mine has always been driving cross country, and not like all the way across straight through, but actually like a couple hours, maybe 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and stopping along the way. I guess ever since seeing Disney Pixar's Cars, like I love road trips, and so it was a lot of fun to get to kind of have a solo journey. I'm riding solo. It was fun though, because I got to kind of enjoy the beautiful weather, enjoy the weekend off from school. Like I mathematically plan, I'm taking a couple summer classes, so I'm still staying pretty busy. So I was like planning, all right, I'm going to, how much is gas money? How much are the tickets? Also, I need to get all of these homework assignments done since I normally do those over the weekend. So I need to get those done early. I had a work site and, I had some landscaping I was doing Friday morning. So that went longer than I wanted it to. So I took off late and was a little distressed, but everything worked out. I got in Thursday night, got to hang out with Teresa and Aaron. And then the following morning, Saturday morning, I got up pretty early. The park was supposed to open at, 8 a.m. And I found myself, up at about 7, heading over there about 7:15, rolling into the driveway about 7:30, into the parking lot, finding out that my awesome AAA discount, which is, by the way, how I got my discounted Disney tickets, through our family's AAA. Pro tip out there for you Disney people. I had to drive to the AAA office Friday, but that's a whole separate story. So in my determination, I'd got my AAA. I'd even gotten like a special parking pass that came with buying multiple days, and then I found out it didn't work. So I paid, the $17 to roll into the parking zone of Disney. It's $17 to ensure getting into Mark Hamill, because I'd seen on Twitter the previous day that they weren't just doing long lines. They were actually handing out wristbands for the event the second the park opened. So like the second the park opens, you have to immediately walk all the way to the far side of Disney Hollywood Studios, down several streets, to the Premier Theater, and get in line and pick up your wristband in the morning, and then you could go about your day and enjoy it as long as you had the special wristband. I'll tell you what, I got there, I was rolling into the park at 7:45, there a little bit early, and I said, alright, it's a little late, but I didn't want to do it. We had stayed up pretty late the night before, I didn't want to get up insanely early, and I thought, oh, I'll probably get it, I'm pretty sure. And there, lo and behold, as I, you know, I'm walking up to Disney's Hollywood Studios, in the background you hear, dum da dum dum dum, dum da dum dum, you know, in the background. And I'm like, I'm feeling already happier as the proximity of Disney comes closer. And then I see ahead of me.
I'll pause you for 1 second, just because the music at Disney is amazing. I love the way that they play music everywhere, and it fades in and out, and it's matched to the theme of wherever you're walking through. And there may or may not have been a time when a certain Bethany Blanton and Teresa Delgado may or may not have skipped while holding hands to certain Disney music.
Yes. No, that was a thing.
That was
definitely a thing.
Anakin.
There is no denying it, Bethany. That was a thing. No, so, and then, of course, as you get closer to the actual park, you hear the dun dum 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 dum. And so I'm pretty excited. But then I see, like, at the gate, it's already open. They opened the park early. And I was like, I was all like Darth Vader in episode 3. No!
No!
Am I right? So I walk through the gate, and I start doing the polite brisk walk along the side, and I start going down past some of the rides and some of the entryways towards the back of Disney's Hollywood Studios where I know the Premier Theater is. I ask one of the cast members, like, yeah, that's back there. They're handing them out, but you better hurry. So I'm like, all right, keep going. And I'm huffing and puffing. I'm power walking, you know, jazzercising, if you will. But then I start seeing people walk back.
Sorry. The mental picture of Riley jazzercising through Hollywood Studios cracks me up.
This is true. This is so true. So as I'm going back through the park, briskly walking as nice as is polite in polite company, I start seeing people walk back by me with black wristbands. So I'm like, excuse me, sir, is that like the Mark Hamill wristband? I'm like, yes. I said, is there still a line? Is there any chance? He said, there's a little one, but you better hurry. And he looks super concerned for me. I'm like, oh, well, thank you, sir, you who already has the wristband. You look so concerned for me. Thank you. And so about halfway through this brisk walk, I still got about 2 or 3 blocks to go to the actual Premier Theater where this evidently huge queue line had already formed because they opened the freaking park early. I'm like, screw it! I'm running!
Why didn't you do that before?
Riley is a polite person who likes to keep up appearances with that kind of thing.
And I'm all like, no, it's Mark Hamill! No!
you You just borrowed a page out of Nancy's book.
I was all like Speedy Gonzales. Oh man! But so there, I made it. There's a huge, huge line already formed and roped off that you can't join. And there were the people who had gotten in line early, and they roped them off, and they had guaranteed wristbands. And then they had the standby queue line that was just starting to form, or what I like to call the hope and prayer line.
Yes.
So I bolt around.
I've been in those sort of lines before.
Oh yes, the hope and prayer line. There was a actually kind of coming full circle, the hope and prayer line that we were in at Celebration 6 for Mark Hamill.
This is
so ironic.
Yeah. It is, isn't it?
And then there was the hope and prayer line for George Lucas at Celebration 5.
Oh, yes.
Because that was the hope and pray and sit for 6 hours line.
Hope, pray, and don't sleep line. That was what that was.
Or try not sleep line.
I guess long story short, I did get into the queue line, but I was in the first 15, 20, 30 people in that line, and there ended up being a whole other like 100 people who ended up being in line behind me, but they finished. They still had wristbands left over. And so I was in about the last, probably, if I had to guess, maybe 50 people who got wristbands, and they handed out about 200 or 300 of them. So I did cut it pretty close, but I made it. And, there I was free. At which point, I finally start getting some texts from Teresa and Aaron. They're like, "Did you make it?" And I was like, "Yes, cause I ran like a fool." Cause it was like Gandalf was behind me. "Fly, you fool."
"Fly, you fools."
Recounting it, that may have been like the most thrilling part, other than actually seeing Mark Hamill. That was like an adrenaline junkie experience. Oh man! But no, so throughout the day, I went. I had some time to myself at the park, wandered around, got to go ride the Rock and Roller Coaster, which was like the big ride that I didn't get to go the weekend before.
Oh, that's a fun one.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. So I did that. Grabbed a light granola bar for breakfast, and I ate basically nothing that day because I'm poor and couldn't afford to. But it was all worth it. And we went on, and basically we went to all of the shows. We went to the Behind the Force show, Ashley Eckstein. She had Taylor Gray. Look at me. I'm remembering all these names somehow. But I'll probably have a brain fart in a second. But Taylor Gray, who's of course Ezra Bridger in Star Wars Rebels, he was very entertaining, fun. They played the clip from that episode, which I'll briefly talk about. Hopefully they'll release these clips online soon, but needless to say, all I'll say is that it has to do with Ezra and a downed TIE fighter pilot. And Ezra's thieving tendencies. It was pretty funny. But the best part is that the opening shot was kind of a panning back over this kind of lush horizon, this hilly landscape. And coming over the hill, with this kind of crane shot, you don't even see anything. You hear off in the distance. And I'm like, no way. They didn't. And sure enough, and cresting the hill is the protagonist of Star Wars Rebels, Ezra Bridger, whistling the Star Wars Rebels theme to himself in universe.
Nice.
Oh,
and
goodness.
That was so cool. Like, the source music of Star Wars.
They took a page out of Battlestar Galactica's book for that.
Yes, exactly. And I love the source music in Star Wars, but at some point, I hope in Episode 7 or one of the spinoff movies, you just see some of the characters humming to himself. Because remember in the Star Wars Episode 1 Racer game? The Star Wars Episode 1 Racer game for PC that we would play back in the day.
Yeah.
You hear Watto, the same actor who played.
It was on the menu, wasn't it?
It was in one of the standby screens. You would see the actor who played Watto, humming the Cantina theme to himself. So it's like, do you remember? Did you ever play that? Did you ever play this game?
I played the game. I'm trying to remember that screen.
I don't think it was on the arcade version or the N64 version. I think it was only on the PC version. And like it was actually Watto going.
Yes, yes, I remember that now.
Remember?
Yes,
see, yeah, and that's what I want to hear. That's the exact. That's what it was like. It was seeing the source music being hummed
or the theme music being hummed or whistled was pretty amazing. So, I mean, it was an entertaining show. They showed some of the same clips we'd previously seen the weeks before, where, you know, the little kind of Star Wars Weekends tour of the production and that sort of thing. Nothing too spectacular, but we did that show. We had the Stars of the Saga show with Billy Dee Williams and Ray Park, both very entertaining. And we also had, and then we went to the, I forget the name of it. Was it something like A Visit to the Mall, spelled M-A-U-L, where it was Ray Park. I thought, oh, it'll be funny. He does his show with the kids. No, this was a full blown like wushu martial arts extravaganza spectacular show, where he really demonstrated some amazing martial arts.
I wish I could have seen that.
Not only that, but he was really entertaining because James Arnold Taylor was on stage with him the whole time. So they were kind of playing off each other with a really kind of great stage presence and energy that was more than, so it wasn't just like a demonstration, but it was also entertaining. They were joking around. They showed some of clips of Ray Park and G.I. Joe and stuff like that. So that was incredible. So throughout the day, we just would usually go to one of the shows and kind of hop back in line and go to one of the shows. And I was thinking, well, it's just going to kind of make pass around the day. We hang out with friends, see the shows. I've already been to some of the rides. That'll be the fun part, but the big stuff will be Mark Hamill. But no, like all these other shows, they were all better than expected. And specifically, Ray Park's was way better than I thought it would be, because I'd never seen one of Ray Park's shows before. So seeing him just really, I mean, I was so impressed with the guy, and he is, I don't know, he's so cool. But then the big event
was Mark
Hamill.
I have never met Ray Park. Mm. I've always wanted to. He seems really cool.
Yeah.
He seems like a really down-to-earth kind of guy, so.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, he's not.
He was actually one of the first Star Wars celebrities that I interacted with much on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because I actually had several.
Is he still on Twitter? Is he one of those who deleted his account?
He deleted his account
some
time ago.
That's always sad, yeah.
A couple of years ago now. But it was when I first got on Twitter, and I just kind of tweeted at him one day. I was new to Twitter and got into a conversation with him, and then had several other conversations later just about martial arts and mostly and a few other things. But he seemed so cool, and I was sad when he deleted his Twitter account.
Yeah, and that's happened with a few folks. Like, I know that Katie Lucas was on Twitter for a while, but now she isn't. Yeah, and see, in fact, like, he doesn't have his Twitter, but his TwitPic account is still there. So if you go like to twitpic.com/photos/RayParkAction, which was his old, you can actually see like from a couple of years ago. That's always sad. Because I know like, and that's the sad thing about the snarkiness of the internet is that there are really great people who've been part of the Star Wars community who have been harassed until they just felt like it wasn't a welcoming place. And that's a real shame. Man, I just kind of got on a downer. I apologize. I was talking about that, but but the big event was Mark Hamill, and I went to the line. Everyone else had fast passes. I was waiting to buy my tickets to get the AAA discount, so all the fast passes were gone by the time I had my tickets in order. So, but I did have the wristband. Met everybody inside. They saved me a seat. If you want to scroll through, Teresa did a great job live tweeting it. She's on all the social media. Her username's Ice Cold Penguin. And just scroll through, you'll see a lot of photos from the event over the weekend. I was live tweeting too at the Riley guy. And so you can kind of see some of it from there, but I guess I won't recap the whole panel because it is the video from Friday is up online, and I'm sure some of you guys have already seen it. But my takeaways from the Mark Hamill event were mainly just how vibrant he was, because he's definitely in a lot better shape. He's lost a lot of weight, but he's not like the Luke Skywalker on the cover of Crucible, or maybe Crucible's not a good example. He's not like the Luke Skywalker you would have seen on the cover of one of the New Jedi Order books or something like that. So he's not like in fantastic shape, but like because Jason, you were at the Mark Hamill panel at Celebration, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember you being in line with us. He's in so much better shape than he was then. And so it was one of those things that he's not in that spectacular physical shape in that. He's amazing, but he's certainly had a huge amount of improvement. It's so obvious he's been seriously training for this role. But even more so, what I took away was just his energy and enthusiasm was like twice as much as it was at Celebration, if you can imagine that.
Just wow.
It was almost kind of like boyish enthusiasm that emanated from him that he's jumping back into this world. He loves it, and he loves the fans, and he loves being there. He loves what his character has brought to our culture. So it's a really special kind of energy that was in that room as they interviewed him. And of course, the first thing he kind of brought up was the beard, and he's like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I'm trying to grow this beard for this small little independent film we're filming pretty soon." I'm sorry, Point Hamill. So. But and then he kind of went on to talk about spoilers, and he touched on that because this was just after the TMZ photos had come out. We'll talk about that more later in the show. But he had talked about the spoilers that have come out, and kind of the gist of what he was trying to communicate was that they're not trying to be mean about being secretive, but they're trying to preserve the surprises for the fans. And that was definitely a big applause line. Everyone kind of was on their side on that one. But like, he went on to talk about his career, talk back and forth, but that was really my main takeaway, was just seeing the energy emanating from him. So there's that. It was a great day.
What do you mean by energy? Because you've described it a little, how he looks and kind of how the crowd was, but what was the vibe that you got? You said he's vibrant, but
yeah,
what really was the vibe that you got from him? Like, do you think he's enjoying the movie? Do you think he's excited about it? Do you
think
he thinks fans will like it? Just,
and this was present even at Celebration. Yeah, this was present even at Celebration, but I kind of get the sense that Mark Hamill has a fortunate and deep appreciation for how significant his role as Luke Skywalker was. And I think the fact that, and this is all kind of just my impression and conjecture of the man. I've never met him or anything. But I think that appreciation has now been born into the level of enthusiasm now that he gets to reprise that role and bring it back to audiences worldwide. He understands the significance and the cultural impact that Luke Skywalker has. And that's a big deal. Like, it's nothing to sneeze at that we are all podcasting here about Star Wars, because it's had a huge, profound impact on so many people. So I think if you have a better appreciation for that, I don't think you can help but be super excited. Like, and I was looking through my pictures earlier today. I was sharing them at a family dinner. We were out at Hibachi Grill, and I clicked on this one picture, and I'm going to show it to you, Bethany, but it's basically, him leaving the stage to the applause. And he's just being an awesome goofball. And there's the picture. It's basically him leaving stage, throwing up a pose, and the audience just going nuts. So, yeah, there wasn't a whole lot else to say other than we went to that. We went to finished up the event, got to hang out with some more folks, got to grab dinner and hit a couple
of
rides.
I'm so jealous. I wanted to go, but I had so much schoolwork to do.
Yes.
I've already been out of town.
Yeah, so. No. Well, I mean, you did.
You think you're jealous, Bethany. I'm sitting here in Arizona watching Teresa, you, Riley, and Aaron, and Steve all post pictures and statuses from multiple Disney Star Wars weekends. And I'm just like, yep, I'm halfway across the country.
Actually, I am curious about that, because I have a horrible habit of I will go on. It's like unintentional social media fast where I just ignore pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the news from my news feed. I talk about it to Riley. I talk about it to other fans, but I'm not really reading my Twitter timeline or carefully reading my Facebook timeline that much. Which, you know, I've gotten back on that some, and I do enjoy those things, but whenever school starts getting busy, that's the first thing to go, truthfully.
Yeah. Right.
But what is it like if you are following, especially if you followed several, where you're seeing all the posts and all the photos and all the smiles and all the jumping for joy in this photo?
I was going to say, rephrase Bethany's question. Just how miserable were you?
I was going to say very nicely.
No, but it was funny because especially the weekend with the meetup that you guys did a couple of weeks ago. Where everybody's posting everything. I've gotten into the habit recently of just checking my Instagram once a day. I'll, you know, boot it up in the morning and see what all's happened the last 24 hours. And so I scroll back down to the last picture and I look at them in order just so I get a better timeline of what's going on. And it was for that weekend, it was like scrolling, still scrolling. Oh my goodness, I'm still scrolling. Where is the 24-hour mark? This is still just like 5 hours ago. And so finally getting back to the bottom and then looking at all the awesome pictures of everybody hanging out, everybody having fun, everybody at Disney World, not Disneyland, that's over here-ish. Just having a great time, enjoying Star Wars, enjoying Disney. Going, and I'm sitting here going, yeah, I really wish I was there. So, but especially following Teresa, who posts probably about as much as everybody else combined.
Tweets and Facebooks like crazy.
She's amazing.
She is so good at that.
She does. She probably had more than everybody else combined on my Instagram feed.
Part of it is, I think, for those of us new to the Disney. Especially Disney Star Wars Weekends experience. Like Riley and I, that was completely new for us. The McInerneys, they'd never done Star Wars Weekends before. Steve Glosson, he had never done Star Wars Weekends, and it had been forever since he'd been to Disney. So I think for those of us where it was a much newer or a much rarer experience, we were a lot more focused on paying attention to our surroundings, taking it all in.
Oh, yeah.
Staring at all the
sights. Yeah, I posted a few more photos the subsequent weekend.
I do have photos. I should post those online. I mean, was trying to make a photo post, but for whatever reason...
I was trying to keep up an album on our Facebook page, and I just wasn't able to post them all as I was going, and I still have like 20 or 30 photos sitting on my phone that I haven't posted up to our Facebook, but...
I'll post those on Monday.
Yeah,
no one's on Facebook on pages on the weekends for whatever reason.
Yeah, but no, and that's the cool aspect of it that I guess it is nice to be able to share it. But man, I wish you were there. I wish Carl was there.
Yeah,
I wish Mark could have been there. And that's the kind of thing. Like in the future, I really do hope like one of these days that things like having our friends at Big Bad Toy Store, that sort of thing, hopefully will allow for a little bit more of actually getting you guys out to some of these events, that sort of thing. I'd love for that to be the case. As it was kind of a communion of people within driving distance. So I guess I'm trying to think of that's kind of all that was my biggest, I want to say I had as much fun, even though it was a lot kind of smaller scale and more intimate. The subsequent weekend, I keep wanting to say the second weekend, but I did skip one and then go back. I think I had as much fun that as the time before, and a lot of it was just hanging with friends and good conversation. So that was so cool. So like we mentioned, I feel like I should throw out Instagram handles just since we've talked about it, because Teresa, she's Ice Cold Penguin, as I mentioned, and then I'm same as I am on Twitter, the Riley guy, at the Riley guy.
Yeah, I'm the same as well at Bethany L. Blanton.
Yeah, so and I'll tell you what, I'm
enjoying Instagram.
Exactly, I'm becoming a convert because I've had it for a while, but like the past few weeks have really converted me to you. Kind of, you mentioned it, you mentioned it, Jason, in that it's a great way to just kind of get your quick fix of social media because it's not as overwhelming as Twitter. You don't have all the crap that Facebook has.
Yeah,
so it's just like just the pictures, and that's what I love about it. So. I'll tell you what, it'd be cool to do. Maybe we'll do it for the site in the coming weeks. Maybe Teresa, because that's really her forte. Maybe we'll do like a guide to Star Wars fans on Instagram to kind of make a list of folks to follow. That would be cool. Because I know those exist. Like Club Jade has one for Twitter. So that'd be kind of cool to do for Instagram. On Instagram, yeah. Straight flexing, yo. I think there's a song about it. Anyway. So there was our time at Star Wars Weekends. But I don't want to end our time because that weekend I may have been traipsing around Disney, but you, Jason, were traipsing around Phoenix Comic Con. So I've got to ask you, how was it?
It was a lot of fun. I went with a couple of friends. One of them was Kyle Avery, Kyle Baca, who you all met at Star Wars Celebration 6. So that was a lot of fun. We got to go up together. We rented out a hotel room a couple miles from the convention center. And we went all 4 days, Thursday through Sunday. There wasn't a lot going on Thursday, because it's, you know, the sort of preview night, and there's a couple panels going on. I did go into one panel just to check it out. It's the How to Be Successful on YouTube panel, because I'm considering starting a YouTube channel once I get equipment, which costs money that I don't have.
The woe of podcasters, my friend. The woe of
podcasters. Yes. We didn't do a lot, wandered the exhibition floor and all that fun stuff a little bit, but that was fun. Friday, though, was our big day as a group because there was four of us together and three of us had various Doctor Who costumes that we were bringing. I had the Fourth Doctor from the 70s. Kyle had the 11th Doctor, and our other friend Brandon, he had the War Doctor from the 50th anniversary special.
Nice.
And so we all dressed up in our Doctor costumes and we cosplayed the whole day, which was great because it prevented me from buying things because I didn't have any place to put it. And it was not carrying a backpack in costume because that would have just been dumb.
That's why people do it at Dragon Con. It's not...
I spent the only money I spent was on food that day. It was kind of surprising, but I made up for it on Saturday.
oh, so such what was is the life swag? Of going any, to convention. Any good Star Wars gets?
Right. What was that?
Oh, I was going to say, so what was the swag? Any good Star Wars gets?
I didn't do... this convention wasn't like a big Star Wars convention for me, although I did go to... a couple of Star Wars panels, but I'll get into that in a second. This is more of a Doctor Who convention for me with, you know, the costume, obviously, and then some of the things I went out and bought. And that's sort of like my new thing, and I haven't really had a chance to go to a convention with that, because last time I went to the Phoenix Comic Con last year, and it was the week after Phoenix Comic Con that I started watching Doctor Who. So... Oh. But I did, while I was there, go to the Dark Horse booth and pick up the first issue of Darth Maul, Son of Dathomir, and read that in 10 minutes while waiting for a panel.
What did you think of it, just real quick?
I really liked it, and it definitely feels like a Clone Wars episode, and I'm eagerly waiting for the next three issues to come out. So it's... awesome and heartbreaking at the same time. Awesome in the fact that it's Clone Wars and the storytelling is great and it looks like the show, but heartbreaking because it's not animated and it's not being acted out, you know, on the screen for us. So
is the look what you mean when you say it feels like the Clone Wars?
It is definitely drawn in the Clone Wars stylistic vein. It's not exact, but it definitely is drawn with that as the direct inspiration. So the way that the character profiles are done, Count Dooku's in it and he totally has the very angular, you know, lower jaw beard going on.
The beard blade.
Yes, the beard blade. You know, the way that the characters interact with the environment definitely has that same look and feel as the episodes do. So that was really cool. And I'm not going to talk about the plot in case anybody hasn't read these yet, because you should.
Yes, I'm going to. Have not yet.
Yes. But
all the issues come out. And then
it definitely ends on that, first episode of a four-part series cliffhanger. So... I'm excited for it. I'm looking forward to picking up the next one that's either came out this week or next week, and I don't remember which.
I want to say it may have come out this week. I remember seeing something about it.
Yeah, that might have been correct. It wasn't out when I picked it up at the convention last weekend, so
yeah.
I know that for a fact. But so that was pretty cool. And then let's see. On Saturday, when I wasn't walking around the convention floor in costume, I did stop by a Star Wars panel in as Doctor Who. So that was funny. But I went to the R2-D2, the droid who knew everything panel, just because I have to go support R2-D2, because he's my favorite and is the ultimate hero of Star Wars ever. So
was it the R2 builders?
They did have an R2 builders R2 there, but it was sort of like the history of R2-D2 and that sort of thing. It was put on by one of the local Rebel Legion groups, and the main host was the Jedi archivist for the group. And so she like gets together everybody's stories and stuff like that. So she's all into that sort of thing. But it was pretty cool. The first half of it was pretty neat. All focused on R2. They had an R2 by the R2 builders there. And then they had a Chewbacca, full costume Chewbacca there as well. It was pretty awesome. They also had a guy dressed as Luke and a guy dressed as Han that were on the panel, and they talked as if they were in character. Really? So that was pretty cool. And then the second half kind of got a little funny because R2 and Chewie left, and they started taking questions from the audience, and it kind of got into, you know, Han, why do you not trust droids? And there was conspiracy theories and all that fun stuff going on.
This sounds like a Dragon Con panel.
It does, actually.
but yeah, so that was kind of funny, the way that turned out. But I mean, it was fun, and I got to meet one of our Larian listeners to the Wampus Lair. That's what we call our Wampus Lair listeners, our Larians. I got to meet one of our Larians there at the panel, so that was pretty cool. Didn't end up seeing him the rest of the convention, though. We sort of like kept passing like ships in the night or something. Mm-hmm. But that was pretty fun. And then I went to, Saturday was fun. I started off the morning by going to the Score movie soundtrack panel.
Nice.
Which was awesome because I got a whole bunch of new ideas for soundtracks I need to buy. and they were giving out some soundtracks for, you know, bonus questions and things like that. It was very interactive and, really interesting. And of course, they had an entire section of the panel dedicated to the Star Wars music, which was great. One of the things they did was they had a little Name That Tune quiz where they had like 8 different clips that they were playing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, here's the first one. This is not for one of the prizes, and you don't have to stand up and say buzz to answer the question. This is going to be sort of the warm up. It'll be easy, and you only get one note to guess it. And he hit play, and it was dun, and everybody started yelling Star Wars, which is what it was. It was the Star Wars theme.
Yeah.
It was the first one. So
too easy.
It was very, and I guessed what it was before he said anything, but before he actually played it, I was guessing it's probably the Star Wars theme, because everybody knows that.
Most iconic movie sound ever.
Yes. So that was fun. And then also Saturday, I went to the Star Wars Legends, previously known as the Expanded Universe, panel, which had a couple of Star Wars artists on it. That being Michael Stackpole and the James S.A. Corey duo of, let me get the names right, Daniel Abraham and Ty Frank.
Okay.
So they were on that panel, and I actually recorded the panel, and I'm in the process of editing that all together to release as an episode for the Wampus Lair.
Nice.
So, it was pretty interesting. It was basically just a question and answer panel. Where they answer questions about.
He's at DragonCon every year, and he's always on the Star Wars author panels, and that's kind of how they go. It's just pure Q&A.
Yeah, and there were some really interesting questions asked, and they were very, very, very interactive with with the people in the audience. Michael Stackpole is very experienced at this, obviously, because he's been doing it for years, and very warm and loved telling stories and, you know, engaging. And I think this was the, this might have been the first convention that the James S.A. Corey team has done a Star Wars panel for. But I'm not sure on that.
Not that I'm familiar with. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. I was going to go to the Nathan Fillion panel, cause he was there.
And because he's Nathan Fillion. So yes, yep, there's totally. That.
Yeah. He's pretty awesome. But, I just got tired and decided to sit down because after that, I went to a film screening for Kyle's Star Wars fan film. He got it entered into the Phoenix Comic Con Film Festival to premiere it, basically, and I'm in it, and it's a 20-minute Star Wars fan film that he'll be putting online in the next couple weeks.
Nice.
So that was a lot of fun. Got to see some of the cast and crew. They all showed up, it was largely well-received from the people there in the audience, so that was pretty cool. The lightsaber battle that takes up a lot of the ending part of it was pretty ridiculous to see on a big screen like that. It was awesome. So that was a lot of fun. Sunday, was just sort of like wandering around, you know, checking last minute things, just sort of enjoying the day, before leaving.
Yeah.
Kyle and I did end up going to a How to Be a Phoenix Comic Con panelist panel at the end of the day. So we might try to get on a panel next year.
There you go.
But the funny thing was, we're just sitting there, and it's 10 minutes after the panel's supposed to start, and nobody has arrived to do the panel.
Well,
and so everybody's starting to talk to themselves. Everybody's starting to talk to themselves saying, I guess this is the how not to be a Phoenix Comic Con panelist panel. And then finally, a couple of people from the audience decided, screw it, we're all here. And they jumped up onto the stage and they started an impromptu panel. And then thankfully, one of the programming directors for the convention decided, you know, came in to take the attendance numbers or whatever. And he's the programming director for the sci-fi, fantasy track at Phoenix Comic Con. And they asked, hey, can you help us out with this? And he went up there and sort of helped out with an impromptu panel. And it ended up being pretty good, pretty awesome because everybody started, you know, people in the audience started the panel and then he joined in and it ended up being really, really kind of cool. So that was fun.
That's cool.
That's awesome. Well, that is so cool because Bethany and I, we've been panelists a few times at Dragon Con last mm-hmm. year. We were on one or two panels, and that was a blast. So, I mean, usually it's as much as just talking to the person who's doing the programming directing and saying, hey, what do you think of this idea? And
yeah.
There goes the dynamite. You're ready to roll.
Right. He's like, basically, here's my email, you know, email me your idea, and if I'm not in charge of the track that you want to be doing stuff for, I will get you in touch with that person. So he was really, really helpful, really friendly, and probably pulled off a better panel than the people that were supposed to do it. So that was pretty cool. But that was Sunday, and it was really neat to be able to be there all 4 days and not have to rush off to an airport and just drive home, you know, an hour and a half.
Tell you what, for everybody listening, make sure that you guys try to stay a day after the convention or try to leave much later after the convention. Because whenever you leave the evening of a convention day, it really cuts your hanging out and your rest time pretty short. So
yeah.
Either let's say if you're going to a convention where you really don't know anybody, leaving early or leaving like directly following the convention, like you do the last panel and you drive away, that makes you exhausted once you get home. And so trying to get back into the swing of things can be hard. And if you're going to a convention or Star Wars weekends where you might know a lot of people, it means you don't get to hang out with them, which is sad.
Which is exactly. Always something you want to avoid. Wow. Well, man, that sounds like a great time at Phoenix. And I'll tell you what, it seems like these kind of Midwest cons, whether it's Phoenix or Denver or some of these other cons that are sprouting out Salt Lake City, they really seem to be growing and getting bigger and bigger and more of a big deal.
Which is nice.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I got since I was part of the media, I got an email telling me the final numbers, and it was like over 77,000 people. Wow. At the convention.
You're
so
kidding.
Wow.
That's incredible. Like that's almost Dragon Con numbers. That's huge. Good grief. That's like if you count like San Diego's all up to like 120. So that's, you know,
I have a slight tirade to go on, so turn the music back down for a second. Okay. I know I'm
slight tirade
transition.
Interruption.
I sent your transition and refute it, sir.
Refute it. No, but I was thinking based on what you
it was
say
the Wampus
there,
Lair
Jason,
theme too.
And based on just all of the experiences of being at conventions recently and seeing geek news in regular news more, you know, a couple years ago, it started becoming news that geek is the new cool, geek is the new sexy, geek is now...
Geek is chic.
Yeah, exactly.
As they say.
Mm-hmm. And I thought I was happy at the time to read commentary like that. But at the time, I still thought, you know, that's a bad word.
The proverbial
to use,
they,
but
yeah.
The proverbial they. But yes. Some mainstream people are, journalists are still writing of this as if it's a novelty or as if it's a phase that will pass in a year or two. But I don't really think that it will, because it's not that geek is the new chic and it will pass, and it's a passing phase, it's a fad that'll disappear and become a minor thing in the near future. But it seems that it's not, geek is not chic right now, geek is normal, and I think that's a lot better.
Yeah, and you see, I think I have a theory as to why that's become the way it is the past several years, and I think it's the Marvel film franchises doing.
Yeah.
Largely. Because they release movies constantly and consistently, several a year, and they keep get people excited for these sort of things. And then we've seen more, you know, sci-fi fantasy types of movies come out in the past several years consistently. You know, and there's a whole swath of them this year and next year and the year after. We're getting it. On release dates for Justice League and, movies in 2017 now, you know, people are looking forward to these superhero franchises, these space franchises like Star Wars coming, you know, rebooting. Lord of the Rings has been a big deal with the Hobbit, you know, movies recently, yes. With fantasy. So there's more access to it now. And I think the concentration of geek films is probably the highest it's ever been in, you know, an extended period of time, the past 5 years or so.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's a very good point in that the way Marvel's handled it, they're not only putting out consistent films, but they're putting out consistent good films that, I mean, mm-hmm. some not as much as others, but still, like, films that are big cultural events that, you know, are a big deal when it comes to popular culture. And that's right, geek culture is becoming popular culture. And a lot of that mm-hmm. might be thanks to Marvel and the way they've handled the whole cinematic universe.
Becoming a part of popular culture doesn't necessarily mean that it's just mainstream, but again, what I'm wanting to point out is that it's more normal. Yes, geeks are still picked on sometimes. Yes, people, even geeks, discriminate against other geeks. You know, are you a true fan? Are you a real fan? You know your stuff, that kind of thing. Those things go on, but it is becoming more normal to be a geek. Geek is becoming to be a word that it really isn't necessary, because geek is so specific, and it usually, the word geek or the word nerd, especially to me, comes across with connotation of you are not necessarily an outcast, but you're not in the inner circle. You're not the cool person. You're not a part of normal life. Because your interests are too different from other people's interests. And frankly, our lives are starting to look like what a science fiction movie would have been in the 1980s. We are living science fiction, and I think that's part of it. I think another part is the hard work of fans and of mainstream I would say celebrity figures who have brought this to be, you know, this being a geek, quote unquote, is no different than being a huge baseball fan where you paint yourself up and dance crazy in the stands.
Yeah.
It's no difference than being a cosplayer at a convention. There really isn't. And it's just really exciting to me that it's becoming something that, well, yes, my geekness is definitely not my own hobby. I love to cook. I can be a little bit of a gym rat sometimes. I love doing anything outdoors. But I want my other interests to be considered normal as well. And it's nice that they are. They are beginning to be.
In the immortal words of Felicia Day,
I'm the one that's cool.
It's about time for news, but it's brought to you by Big Bad Toy Store. For an amazing selection of Star Wars action figures, Star Wars memorabilia. I'm going to be pronouncing that correctly. And so much more. If you like Star Wars, if you like G.I. Joe, if you like, you know, if you like Gentle Giant, if you like any Star Wars collectible, you want to be heading over to Big Bad Toy Store. They're our sponsor for this episode of the Star Wars Report. Here's what you want to do. Head over to StarWarsReport.com/toys. That's StarWarsReport.com/toys. And that'll link you straight over to the Big Bad Toy Store. And you can see a great selection of Star Wars action figures, memorabilia, collectibles, so much more. Once again, that's StarWarsReport.com/toys. I'm gonna watch Empire Strikes Back now.
I must applaud you on your timing to get that commercial done in time with the music. It's almost like you've done this before.
It's almost like I've done it. No, well, I'll tell you what, this is going to be a little bit of a longer episode, it looks like. We've had some, I mean, I didn't expect the convention discussion to go on so long, but that's one thing that often happens here at the Star Wars Report is that when we have experiences to talk about, that kind of trumps, you know, news. Has there been some news? Also, by the way,
Lots of news. Before we jump
to that, I never really did like, you mentioned it, Bethany. I like the way you put it not normalizing as in the negative sense, but not considering someone above anyone else when it comes to geek being mainstream again, or maybe for the first time, because.
Or geek is just
one thing that always kind of bothered me about
fad.
That video, I have to be honest, is that I didn't like the concept of it saying, I'm the one that's cool. I like the concept of nobody's cool now. Nobody's cooler than anybody else.
In the sense that, you know, you can't say my hobby's cooler than yours.
I'm the one that's cool. I mean, it's a catchy song, and I certainly understand the movement. But anyway, all right. So there is, good Lord, there is a lot of Star Wars news. You know what happens when you take 2 weeks off of news, Bethany?
It piles up these
TMZ
days.
Happens. That's
what. Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of Star Wars news and rumors. You know when TMZ's involved. It's a big deal now.
The like geek it was is all mainstream. Geek is normal. TMZ is
happening. TMZ is if any other indication is that mainstream popular culture has drifted in the direction of geek, it's when TMZ, quote unquote reporters decide to stop harassing Kim Kardashian long enough to get set photos from Star Wars Episode 7. But that's exactly what happened, and a lot of people have already discussed this ad nauseum. The guys over at Rebel Force Radio did a great breakdown, so did the Full of Sith podcast. Those are just two I've listened to recently. So many people have done amazing breakdowns of some of these photos, but I kind of wanted to just talk about like the impact of actually seeing. We probably won't get into the specifics of Hawk Squadron, but but just like I do want to talk about actually just seeing set photos from the set of Star Wars Episode 7. We'll start with the Abu Dhabi photos because there are some Pinewood sneak photos as well. But let's talk about those. I want to throw this to you, Jason. Where were you? Where were you when TMZ got a hold of photos from the set of Episode 7?
I was getting ready to record a Frontlines episode with Michael Cohen. And so The photos came out and we're like, oh, hey, this came out today. We should talk about it. And so we did for like 5-10 minutes before we got into the Clone Wars episode. So that was pretty fun.
Cool.
it was really funny though, because you know, obviously Hog Squaddle took the internet by storm that day.
Yes. And credit to the folks over at Rebel Force Radio. I think Kyle Newman coined the term Hog Squaddle for the for the large pig like creature. Oh, and a quick note, I guess if you guys there are a handful of folks, and I do understand there are Star Wars fans who really do want to remain truly spoiler free. And we'll kind of, I'm sure that'll kind of come up organically in the discussion, but I do want to offer a slight spoiler warning. If you don't want to hear, I'm sure we will mention some details of these leaked set photos, although I'm sure there won't be any like big plot points revealed or anything. But if that's not your forte, thanks for listening to this episode. We'll see you next week. If it is your forte, by all means, let's continue the discussion. I'm sorry for interrupting. What were we saying, Jason?
Yeah. One of the things that we ended up talking about, Hog Squaddle in particular, is now that the name has sort of like swept the internet among the Star Wars community, if J.J. Abrams and the team are actually going to have to change the name of that creature to Hog Squaddle, simply because the fans have dubbed it so, which was kind of funny, a funny little side discussion.
Hey,
and I think it would be really cool if that ended up being the name of the creature, especially if they're naming these things, you know, after the filming is done and all that fun stuff. But one of the things that I was more interested in, the photos, you know, Hog Squaddle obviously, you know, stole the hearts of millions, being the focus, but there was a couple pictures in here that sort of piqued my interest as far as slight, you know, maybe more story point ideas, and that being, I'm trying to find which picture it is for the two of you to look at as I talk. But there is a couple of pictures where there is a young man in Luke Skywalker white.
I saw that
running
one,
running across the desert, and everybody else, all of the extras and everything, are dressed in grays and browns and blacks and greens and things of that nature.
But it really does look like the Jedi Luke.
No. It's like a Episode 4, A New Hope, Luke Skywalker white. It looks like the moisture farmer Luke Skywalker running across the desert. And there's not a close photo of this guy, but he makes it into a couple of the pictures. There's a group. I'm looking at one, number 31. He's with a group of other people walking across to where I assume they're going to be filming. And it made me wonder if that's one of the primary characters, because you don't get a good look at him other than the fact that he's in white and nobody else is. So I was like, are we going to get another, Lars Homestead sort of leaving the farm sort of scene again with one of our main characters? It made me wonder just a little bit.
I thought that there was one but I may be thinking of a different,
I'm looking through, 31 is the only one I've seen him in, but he's in a group there at the moment. But I seem to recall there being one in here where it was just him running across the desert.
And actually, I'm sorry, I had my mic muted for a second there. Let's see. Technical difficulty overcome. Hey, check out 43.
Oh, wait. I found. Where'd it go?
Is it 43?
I think 22.
22.
Look at
this. Is great.
Look at
this
picture 22.
Content. It's fantastic stuff.
I cannot tell who that is, if it's a crew member or something, but it's a picture of the desert. And there's the smoke rising from whatever is burning that they have on set. And there's one person standing in the far left side of the picture.
Yes. And this one's a little bit more illicit because you can kind of see where like someone's finger was over the lens a little bit in the right corner there. Like some of these
Or they're taking the picture from behind something or, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like most of the pictures are pretty obvious that it was somebody on set that everyone kind of posed for and no one thought they would sell it or post it. And obviously that wasn't the case. TMZ got their greasy paws all over the soda photos. I mean, that's the thing is that I felt almost guilty.
Greasy paws.
Get your with the insert the Charlton Heston quote here. I did feel a little bit guilty and some not guilty, but it was kind of a sleazy. To get the illicit photos and stuff. And some people were saying, oh, it must have been an intentional leak. There's no way. If Star Wars wants to do an intentional leak or release information to a third party like Hollywood, they would do it with someone like, they would do it with one of the trades, like Hollywood Reporter or Variety or something. It would not be, the people you don't think, oh, let's send them our leaked set photos. It's not TMZ. But man.
Even if you want to, for whatever reason, even if your goal was to, I'm going to leak photos in such a way that it appears like an accident, but it's really planned.
Yeah.
You wouldn't leak all of those set photos because you'd want to leak something that...
It would be like a picture. That would make more sense to me.
Or it might be a couple of pictures from different things, whereas this is...
This is obviously one part of the Abu Dhabi set. It's not, not even the whole thing, I doubt it, because it's all within like the same... vicinity.
Well, and kind of what I, yeah, because it's all the same, it would be like, why would you do 45 photos, bad quality photos of this same area?
Yeah.
And the same group of people, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. And I'll tell you what, we didn't post any of the actual pictures on our page or that, or on our site. Because there are plenty of ways for people to take a look at them like we are. They're on TMZ and everyone and their mother's linked to them. They weren't even the main set photos within days, literal days of that first set of photos from Abu Dhabi leaking. I see the headline in my Twitter feed, Star Wars Episode 7, holy crap, comma, it's the Millennium Falcon, ... right, ... Which, by the way, congratulations, TMZ, on probably the most BuzzFeediest.
No, BuzzFeed is better than that.
That's true. BuzzFeed does a better job with their headlines than that. But, in fairness, that's exactly my internal thought process. When I see the picture, I'm like...
I am slightly...
It's the freaking Millennium Falcon.
I understand that it's TMZ, and they're going for a certain audience and a certain style. But remember in the last set when they say... And something said on Tatooine, and then in parentheses, Star Wars nerds get that.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, you do have to get, like, the dig.
Yeah.
But hey, the fact that these are on TMZ, that TMZ has hindered the game. Like, you have, Hollywood trade magazines and publications. You have your Variety, Hollywood Reporter, The Wrap. You have, like, these fairly legitimate, trustworthy sites that we get a lot of Star Wars rumors from, or at least the legitimate Star Wars rumors. But when TMZ enters, this might as well be People Magazine. Like, when you have TMZ entering the fray, it's over. It's like, sorry, guys, the people who brought you, the people who brought you Kim Kardashian's shopping trip to yesterday's mall are now after Star Wars. I mean, again,
well,
it's as mainstream as you get.
My comment is to make a comment like that is sort of the very sad, very transparent attempt at we're not geeks, we're just reporting what geeks like.
Yeah.
That kind of
it
thing.
It is their MO,
it's
though.
Like,
it's
really?
Not like they consider, I keep going to the Kim Kardashian example, but it's not like they consider Kanye West an upstanding gentleman of the popular arts. It's like they poke fun at everybody. But yeah, I see what you're saying. But no, so they have set photos from the Millennium Falcon. Now, in fact, these are probably somewhat old because it's showing it under construction, but there's no doubt you can see it right there. It's the actual Millennium Falcon. And again,
oh, yeah.
This is bound to happen. There's really, I did not expect us just not see anything until publicity photos. When you're trying to build a life-size Millennium Falcon somewhere, it has got to be impossible to maintain that kind of security.
You know JJ's Twitter post about, he sets it on the table inside the Millennium Falcons, essentially saying, I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Joke.
I wish all these people would stop making these ridiculous claims that the Millennium Falcon will be in Star Wars Episode 7. And, of course, the note is sitting on top of the Dejarik chess table.
Yes.
In the Millennium Falcon.
That was a great way to handle it, because I think it expressed his actual genuine, you know, displeasure with the leaked photos, but also being kind of self-aware, saying, yeah, I realize.
Best comeback ever.
Yeah, because it's him kind of admitting that there's no way to actually really hide it. It's an unfortunate reality of filming a Star Wars
film. There's no way
to
hide it, and to be all huffy and mad about it.
Yeah.
What's done is done. You can't undo it.
You cannot tame the beast.
No.
That's what he's realized. But also, like, the general reaction to that, you can tell, by the way, in the hour after that image was posted online, you could tell the Star Wars nerds from the just mainstream people, from the normies who don't get it, right? Because, like, essentially, you see some headlines saying, J.J. Abrams pranks such and such, you know, like, they get the joke. And then you would see some headlines like, J.J. Abrams outraged at the fact that there's been leaked photos. They totally, like, missed the joke.
Oh, I haven't actually seen any of those.
No, I saw a couple of sites that were like, it's like MSNBC or like even mainstream
That's
sites.
That's hilarious.
Like, J.J. Abrams outraged, fuming, angry. And I'm like, no, he realizes it's a joke. He realizes that, you know, we all know the Millennium Falcon's going to be in the movie. We all can't wait to see
it. Apparently, the Millennium Falcon made it into the news just a couple days ago attacking happens. Harrison Ford.
Millennium Falcon headline. Millennium Falcon attacks Harrison Ford on set of Star Wars Episode 7. Now, that's link bait for you. Mm-hmm. No, actually, in fact, let's talk about it. Well, there was an X-Wing and some miniature sets in that set of photos.
Yeah, there was.
Yes.
You could see some of the miniatures that were like frames for that. It looks like a miniature city or something.
I just, my one thought on this set of photos is, my goodness, that is a humongous snout, picture 16.
Oh, that's true. And again, it's like the ghost that won't leave you. Suddenly, as you see the pictures of the new X-Wing, the brand new Millennium Falcon, miniatures being ready to be painted in detail for the new movie, and
Hog Squaddle.
Hogsquaddle has.
He made the trip to London, England at Pinewood Studios.
Hogsquaddle strikes back.
Mm-hmm. And Hogsquaddle is close to our hearts. Mm. He is almost human like, too.
The true hero, I think, of Episode 7.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean,
of course.
You can see the wisdom in his calm eyes, in the demure.
Watch him be like the equivalent to Yoda in Episode 7. When 900 pounds you reach, look as good as you're not. Ding, ding.
Oh, goodness.
Teed up and swung.
You know, sometimes I wonder, Riley, if we have people
sometimes
who
I amaze even myself.
Oh, goodness. See, we say things like that on this show. Sometimes I amaze even myself, that sort of thing. All us jokes. Sometimes I wonder if new community members, new listeners to the show, if they understand all of our jokes.
900 pounds. Okay, sorry.
Riley is still giggling hysterically in the corner.
Oh, my goodness. With 900 pounds.
Now
that was good. That was good. I give you a virtual high five over Skype, Riley, for that one.
And that's usually not me either. Usually that's like Steve when he's on the show who gets the good.
So Harrison Ford was injured on the set of Episode 7.
Yes, thank you. Bethany's bringing
he
us
broke
home.
Broke his ankle.
Yeah, I mean, that was.
And the world mourned in tears and ashes.
I was on
for a day.
This morning. Was it this morning? Yesterday morning?
Yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, I was on the Secrets of Star Wars podcast with Father Roderick Von Hogan over at, I believe it's starwars.sqpn.com. Yeah, that's your, you'll find it. I wonder if I can actually starwars.sqpn.com.
Yes,
what episode number is it? So folks know.
Episode 015.
Yeah, episode 15. Great podcast. I really enjoyed.
015, Riley.
Excuse me, 015. And we talk a lot about some of this news, but we talked a lot about Harrison Ford's ankle injury because, I mean, it was pretty serious when I saw it. I was like, oh man, that looks pretty bad.
Because he got airlifted out and you're wondering
he got, like,
how bad is
out.
This?
But Disney did kind of have a reassuring statement saying that they would resume filming and work around him as he recovers. But evidently, like, it was pretty serious. Although I will say this, I don't think it was as serious as the mirror.co.uk thought it was. Because within like 15 minutes of it, of me hearing about it, I log in and I see a twit pic of their tabloid. Like, so this is literally hours later and the British tabloid already has it out. And it's like, Harrison Ford crushed on set of Star Wars. I was like, welcome. It's good to meet you, Mr. Linkbait McGillicuddy.
Oh, goodness.
I'll tell you what. No, evidently they'll have to. It was reported later today, so we're only just finding out that it was actually broken. And,
Having broken my ankle.
I was going to say, you having experienced something like this, you know this is serious.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it depends on what he broke.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, ankle injuries can be really bad. I fractured the talus bone, which is the central main weight-bearing bone in the ankle. And I was not allowed to walk for nine months
with
the doctor. And it was a year before I could start walking normally again.
Yeah, and it's like medically speaking, it can be really, really bad.
Yeah. Let's hope that he did not break the talus bone. Hopefully, it's one of the worst ones to break.
Hopefully, he'll have a healthy recovery. I know, like a good equivalent was that Robert Downey Jr. had a pretty bad ankle injury, and he was taken out of the Iron Man 3 filming for about a month, and they were still able to hit their release date by shuffling the production. But it cost some money. It cost them some time. But as it stands, from what Disney was saying in the press release, it shouldn't delay filming, according to their press release. So they should.
Well,
be
that's
able to
all
go
we
on.
Care about anyway.
Yeah,
so,
sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, hurry up and get well, Mr. Harrison Ford. No, Harrison Ford's a tough guy. Like, he was the guy dealing with horrible diarrhea on the set of Indiana Jones, where he has to pull out the gun, of course, in Raiders.
Yes.
The famous moment where he shoots the ninja because he wasn't actually supposed to do that. He was supposed to get in a sword fight, but he's like,
I don't feel like doing this, so I'm gonna just pull.
Oh goodness.
By the way, Mark Hamill does a great Harrison Ford impression.
Really?
He was on stage. He's like, yeah, so I was talking to Harrison, and he was kind of like,
I don't really know about that.
So I was doing this press tour for Empire, and man, like Harrison, he was the, this is my Mark Hamill's not very good, but Mark Hamill's like, and so he was like our mentor, because we all were, he's years older than us, he's done so many films, so it's like at the end, I had a really good answer to one of those questions, and finally, like, Harrison turned to me and was like,
yeah, that answer is that's pretty good.
And I was like, it made my day.
So,
that was a moment from the Mark Hamill panel. I love the fact that he did kind of poke fun at George Lucas. He poked a little fun of Harrison on the panel. It was kind of funny.
Mm-hmm.
But no, in all seriousness, we do wish Harrison Ford the best as he recovers from what looks to be a pretty serious ankle injury. Hopefully his recovery is quickly, he recovers quickly. And I think the fact that he's filming, I mean, we all know he's filming. We don't know, we haven't heard specifically of Mark Hamill or Carrie Fisher. I mean, I think it goes to some of those rumors that he is really taking the major role in this film. And again, some of the rumors, or at least speculation, that this might be the end of our, shaggy, lopsided, smiling friend.
Our beloved smuggler.
But I kind of hope not and hope so, because I know the storytelling team is so amazing that they could do an amazing job of telling that story. But man, would that be tough to watch.
It would be.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. And, in fact, let's see.
But in other news,
yes.
EA launches promising Star Wars Battlefront trailer at E3 2014, according to TheForce.net. I love that they call it promising. It's a promising trailer.
I love that they call it a trailer.
It's not really a trailer.
I'm going to agree with Riley on that one.
Yes.
But
in ways, it was better than a trailer, though, in some ways.
It wasn't.
Just Bethany making the best of something.
No, it was a tease. They had like some in-game,
felt like a mini behind-the-scenes.
Yeah, it was kind of like a developer diary.
That's how I would describe it. But I will say, loved the visuals.
Yeah.
Loved the enthusiasm of the people
working on it. This game would get me to buy, barring money right now, but like someday, like by the time this game comes out, I might have enough money that I would be convinced to buy one of the new consoles. Like, mm-hmm. a great Star Wars game would convince me. So have you seen the trailer, Jason? The quote unquote trailer, Jason?
Jason? Yes, I did. It was, you know, it was interesting. It was nice that they are, you know, going back to the archives and the filming locations to get, you know, all the scenery and the models right. But I was like, man, I was really hoping for some gameplay footage.
Yeah, and they're just not there yet.
No.
And it's going to be, and the sad thing is, I haven't been following the production closely, so I'm sure many, like, hardcore gamers or Star Wars gamers already knew this. But it was kind of disappointing news to me that it looks like we won't be seeing it until at least 2015. I was really hoping for that this year. But, I mean, evidently, like, every game at E3, like, every game and its mother was delayed to 2015. If you're a gamer, that was the news coming out of E3. So, yeah, there you have it. There's the news. Man, there's been so much. Like, Josh Trank is directing a new episode. We've got, you know, Gareth Edwards. We haven't had a chance. And Gary Whitta doing the spinoff. I mean, there's been so much Star Wars news. There hasn't been enough time at all to cover it all. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have for this episode. Episode 133 of the Star Wars Report podcast. Thank you so much for sticking with us. It's a longer episode. We haven't had a chance to have an hour plus in a while, so it was a lot of fun talking to you guys. Had a great evening.
Indeed,
I'll tell you what.
I definitely did have a great evening.
Yeah, good times with all. Stick around for a few minutes. I got a couple links that you guys want to hear, a couple announcements in just a moment. That's going to do it. Hey, episode 133 is in the can. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you, Bethany, for joining me.
You're most welcome.
Enjoy the time. Let's see. Jason, you with us?
Yes.
Perfect. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. It was a blast.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun to get to be back on and talk to you guys.
Oh, man. Like, Phoenix Comic-Con sounded like a blast. And man, I'm jealous of you. I mean, we got to have our own good time, but, man, it was... Sounds like it was fun, for sure.
It was a blast. Yeah, I agree.
For sure. I'll tell you what. Huge, huge thanks and shout-outs to Teresa Delgado. The amazing, the incredible, the inimitable Teresa Delgado, who hosted me over last Star Wars weekends. It was an amazing time, and she couldn't have been nicer. If you're not following her on social media, you should be. It's Ice Cold Penguin. Same thing goes for my good buddy Aaron Goins at Star Wars Bookworms. Check him out. He's A.D. Goins on the social networks. And follow him, too. He's an amazing guy. Really great friend over the weekend. Had some great times. And man, it's been a summer of Star Wars so far for me. Two Star Wars weekends. I've been to Wizard World Atlanta. I could get used to it. It's so nice to have a bit more time to do it during the summer when ROTC is not in full swing and, you know, full class load. I mean, we do have summer courses, but it's a lot more doable. So I'll tell you what. All right. Well, so here's what you guys want to do. I want you a couple things. Number one is reviews on iTunes. We really do appreciate them. That's the number one way people get this here podcast. So if you subscribe to this show through iTunes, or even if you don't, any podcatcher you use, we really appreciate you leaving us a review and or rating. That really helps other people discover the show, and it helps people know that you're listening, and it's a great way. I read all of our reviews and actually, frankly, take a lot of them into account. We've actually had some very good constructive stuff for ways to improve the show. So that's definitely one thing you want to do. Go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram. It's @TheRileyGuy. Bethany's the same. Instagram and Twitter, @BethanyLBlanton. Follow Jason Hunt. He is the Wampa's Lair podcast, or @Wampa's Lair on Twitter. and the Wampa's Lair podcast. Search for it on Facebook and on StarWarsReport.com.
Yes.
Remember, many Bothans die to bring you this podcast.
What?
And remember to subscribe to our mailing list. StarWarsReport.com/mailing list. We have too many links. Goodness. And our voicemail hotline. It is. Our email, StarWars. I figured we'd get to the end of the song. Like,
go
guys,
to our MySpace page.
MySpace.
Oh,
900 pounds you reach.
900 pounds you reach. Look us up
like,
on MySpace, you will.
Oh, goodness.
That's
oh man.
I kind of feel bad laughing at myself because people have actually left us like iTunes reviews and stuff where it's like, but I couldn't help it. I was just dead after that. I kind of lost control.
Goodness.
I hope it's as funny to other people.
You can't laugh
like,
at yourself.
Right,
you're doing something
let me shut
wrong.
Shut down the recorder here, and we'll get ready for post show.